Okay, to continue these charts, the next chart that we have is titled The Egyptian Idols That God Attacked by the Ten Plagues. And how this chart came across about, we were covering in Exodus, the Exodus account, and with God and Moses butting heads with Pharaoh. And anyway, Kaufman researched and found out that God was handicapping and knocking off at the knees every one of these false idols, these false gods that the Egyptians had by these 10 plagues. And so he wrote out these 10 points, and Mother thought, hey, this will be another good chart to put up. So she wrote this out. So the very first plague was with the water turned red. So the bloody water, and that's from Exodus 7:12. And that was against the false idol, the false Egyptian god, Nilus, and he was the sacred river god. The second plague of frogs from Exodus 8:6 was against Hecht, the goddess of reproduction. Then the third plague of lice, or gnats, was from Exodus 8:17, and it was against Seb, the false god of the earth. Then the fourth plague of flies, or beetles, was against Kephira, the sacred scarab, false god. Then the fifth plague, which was the plague on the Egyptian cattle, Kaufman called it the murrain on the Egyptian cattle, from Exodus 9:3, was against two false idolatrous gods, Apis and Hathor, and they were the sacred bull and cow to the Egyptians. The sixth plague was boils on man and beast from Exodus 9:10, and that was against Typhon, the evil eye god. Then the seventh plague of hail was from Exodus 9:23, and it was against Shu, the god of the atmosphere. Then the eighth plague of locusts was Exodus 10:14, and that was against Serapis, the protector from locusts. And then the ninth plague, which was darkness, was Exodus 10:22, and that was against Ra, the sun god. And he's become famous in our more modern times. They even have movies about this false Egyptian god, sun god named Ra. Okay, and then the last plague, the tenth plague, from Exodus 11:5, was the death of the firstborn, and that was against Ptah, the god of life. And Kaufman said, perhaps this was a blanket attack against all the gods of Egypt. So he attacked individual gods all the way through the ninth plague, and then very possibly this tenth plague was a blanket attack against all of their false idolatrous gods to try to get their attention that these gods had no power at all, but the true God of the Israelites, the creator of all of mankind, was all-powerful. And, of course, God was hoping they would get that message, but probably they did not. Hopefully, generations down the line did better. Okay, the next chart is about manna. And Kaufman wrote 11 points about what it was, where it came from, what was the purpose. So, the first point, the Hebrew meaning of manna is, what is it? So, this is a Hebrew word, and it means, what is it? So, the Israelites didn't even know what it was. Why was that? Because it was not a natural substance, which he's going to cover in here. And so it was given from God. And they didn't even know what it was, but God was providing them this food source, and they were living on it. For 40 years, they lived on it. Okay, number two. The amount of manna to feed 2 million people means that it was no naturally occurring substance. There was nothing in that desert that was naturally produced or could have possibly been naturally produced in all of their wanderings around for 40 years that could have sustained their life. So God gave them this manna in a massive amount to feed these 2 million Israelites for 40 years. And by that, it was no naturally occurring substance. This had a supernatural origin, meaning that God was its origin and gave it to them. The third point, the manna appeared upon God's promise through Moses. So this God was fulfilling a promise that he made to Moses. And that's how, and then it appeared just as God had told Moses that it would. Okay, number four. It appeared 6 days a week for 40 years. 6 days a week, which was Sunday through Friday. And then it disappeared when they entered Canaan. And why was that? Well, they didn't need it anymore. The land of Canaan was very fertile, very prosperous land, and then the Israelites were no longer in the desert to where they could not provide for themselves. Now this land would sustain them, so there was no need for the manna. So God provided the food source when there was a need for it, and then it was taken away. It just wasn't provided any longer after the Israelites didn't need it anymore. Okay, the sixth point. It did not appear on the Sabbaths, so it never appeared on the Saturday. Instead, point seven, it produced twice as much on the sixth days. So every Friday there was twice as much, and so they were together twice the amount that they needed for a daily supply. So they gathered 2 days' worth, one for Friday and one for Saturday. And then that leads us on to this point 8 and 9. But point 8, this manna bred worms and became foul when certain of God's rules were violated. So it would spoil if certain of God's rules were violated, or if any was held over to the next day. It wasn't good to the next day, with the exception of point 9. It did not spoil on Sabbath days. So God was in total control of this manna. And so as a result, he made it and allowed it to stay good on the Saturdays after they picked it on the Friday. But any other day, if they tried to hold some over for the next day, it spoiled and worms ate it up and it became foul. So it was rancid and ruined. Okay, the tenth point. It could be boiled or baked, neither of which is true of natural manna. There is a substance that grows on trees in the Middle East that they call manna today. But Kaufman, by all of these points, he was saying that that is not, and there's some that want to discount that this was a miracle. But by pointing these points together, we can realize that this was not a naturally occurring substance that was growing on trees in the desert that could support these 2 million Israelites for 40 years as they moved all across the desert. And so, but here's a major difference. This manna that God provided, it could be boiled and baked. But this natural manna, that what they call manna today from this tree that's in the Middle East, it's like a cottony type substance that you can eat, and they said that it tastes sweet, but it cannot be boiled or baked. And so that naturally occurring modern substance is different from what these Israelites were eating that God provided them. And the last point that Kaufman made about manna is The Jews did not recognize manna as anything natural. They knew themselves. And that is a major point and maybe one of the greatest points. Whenever they recognize this as having a divine origin, well, we ought to take them at their word. They knew that it was a miracle that they were receiving this food from God, and this is not a naturally occurring substance that they were eating. And so we shouldn't think so either. And Kaufman was combating various commentators through all the years that were discounting and saying that this was not a miracle and this was a false claim of the Bible. And so these 11 points contradict that false claim. Okay, the next chart. Is the origin of the Sabbath. And this is a two-part chart, and we'll finish up with this. There were claims by previous commentators that Kaufman had read through the centuries, and they were claiming that the Sabbath started before Moses and even before the flood. Maybe Adam and Eve, but Noah and the different ones. And definitely Abraham, they said, was observing the Sabbath. By these, there are 9 points, and Kaufman completely obliterates that false line of thinking. And after this, we will know what the beginning of the Sabbath was and what the ending of the Sabbath was, because it's clear in the Bible. Okay. The first point about the origin of the Sabbath that Kaufman has is, there is no Sabbath commandment in Genesis. So, if it was given to people before the Israelite nation, before Moses, then it would have been listed in Genesis. But there's no mentioning of the word Sabbath anywhere in Genesis. So, that is a major point to obliterating the false thinking that the Sabbath preceded Moses, since it's not mentioned at all in Genesis. Okay, point two. The very first occurrence of the word Sabbath in the entire Bible is in Exodus 16:23. So, here we are through somewhat like halfway through Exodus, a good ways through Exodus. That's the first time that the word Sabbath is even mentioned in the entire Bible. And why was it just mentioned here? Well, because that was the origin. Okay. The third point. God revealed his Sabbath not to Adam, nor to any pre-flood, not to anyone pre-flood, nor to anyone ever born upon the earth before Moses, for the prophet of God, Nehemiah, stated that God revealed his holy Sabbath through Moses. And that's from Nehemiah 9, 13, and 14. So, God revealed his holy Sabbath through Moses. That was the origin. He gave the Sabbath to Moses first. Not anyone before Moses. Okay, the fourth point. Furthermore, the very first revelation of the Sabbath was in the wilderness, the very location the Israelites were in Exodus 16. So, the very first revelation of the Sabbath was in the wilderness, and that's the location the Israelites were in Exodus 16 when God gave this command to Moses. Okay. The fifth point, this is a continuation. Here's the part two of the fourth point. So there were two prophets that told about the origin of the Sabbath. Also, Ezekiel 20, verses 10 through 12, Ezekiel wrote, "I, being God, brought them into the wilderness and gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them." So, God gave the Sabbath to be a sign between God and the Israelites, and he gave it to them in the wilderness, in the desert. So we get the time frame and who it was that it was given to. Nobody before that. Okay, the fifth point. The Sabbath was never a sign between God and all people, but a sign between God and Israel only. And that's from Exodus 31, 17. So, no group of people before Moses and the Israelites were to observe the Sabbath, and not even during their time was God never gave the command for anyone other than the Israelites to observe the Sabbath. And then when the Sabbath was ended, then that was the end. There was nobody after that. But it was only a sign between God and Israel, no one else. It was for a specified time, which we're getting to a little later. Okay, the sixth point. The reason assigned by God for keeping the Sabbath was not the prior existence of the institution, but the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Deuteronomy 5:15. Okay, so the reason God gave for the Israelites to keep the Sabbath was not because he had already instituted it and you need to keep doing what these previous people to you had done. But it was, this Sabbath is a reminder to you for generation after generation, to you Israelites, about the deliverance that I gave your people out of Egyptian bondage. That was the reason for the Sabbath. Okay, now here is a major point here, and this is point seven. This is one of the first real eye-catching things that I got from Kaufman. And I had never heard this before, but I'm so grateful that Kaufman did know about this and did put it in his commentary. And because this is a great passage that I've tried to remember ever since then. So this seventh point, the prophet Amos foretold that the Sabbath would be gone or would be ended when God caused the sun to go down at noon and the earth to be darkened on a clear day. So when did that ever happen? That the sun went dark at noon on a clear day. Well, it only happened one time in all of history, and it'll never, ever happen again, and it was at Jesus' crucifixion. The sun was dark on a clear day, and it went dark at noon, and it stayed dark for 3 hours till 3 p.m. until Jesus died, and then the sun started shining again. So right here, God told Amos the prophet, and Amos the prophet wrote it down, fortunately, and that is the end. So that's when the Sabbath would end. Okay, so we know from this, it began with Moses and the Israelites when they were in the desert on the Exodus, and it ended right here when the sun would go down at noon. So it ended at Jesus' crucifixion. So when Jesus died, the Sabbath was ended. There was no more need for it. Okay, the eighth point. The very name Sabbath is Jewish to the core, deriving from the Hebrew word Shabbat, meaning rest. This would never have been the case if the Sabbath had derived from some pre-Mosaic period. It wouldn't have had a Hebrew origin if people before the Israelites, before the Hebrews, were practicing the Sabbath. It wouldn't have been called the Sabbath. It would have been called in some other language. It would not have been in Hebrew. But just because the word is a Hebrew word means that it originated with the Hebrews. Okay, here is the last point that Kaufman had. Therefore, it is incorrect to date the origin of the Sabbath before Moses and to continue the Sabbath after Christ's crucifixion. So, the Sabbath began with the manna in the desert at the Exodus, and it ended at the death of Christ. So I was very glad that Kaufman put these 9 points together, and this was quite revealing, and I felt like he did a very good job putting these points together. And to me, this is irrefutable proof that the Sabbath did not start before the Israelites, and it was only given to the Israelites, and it was ended at Jesus' death. So we will end there, and next week we'll pick back up with, Lord willing, it'll be Luke 20, the end of Luke 20.